This morning, we're going to look at a passage of scripture in Ephesians chapter 6, which may be a familiar passage of scripture for us. Ephesians chapter 6 and the latter part of it talks about the armor of God, and we're going to be looking at that a little bit this morning. And believe it or not, I've never preached a message on the armor of God before as far as the whole thing. And I don't know why that is, but the way the Lord leads. But nonetheless, we're going to do it today. And I think a lot of times we grow up, or if you grew up in the church, you grew up probably with this being a primary teaching in children's ministry. But I think sometimes we learn it perhaps in our younger days and then neglect it later in life. But it is a powerful imagery that Paul gives us, inspired by the Holy Spirit to help us. And I felt appropriate today, as we're looking forward to this new year and whatever comes before us. And so I just want to talk to you this morning about living prepared, living prepared. There's a sense of readiness that all of us as believers need in our lives. If we're going to stay moving, like there's only two directions, right? It's either forward or backwards. And if we're going to keep going in the direction that the Lord has us to go in, we must live in a prepared way. And you'll see what that means by, as we're going to read here today, what Paul instructs. And Paul gives them, this church in Ephesus, a picture of a soldier that would have been a common day sighting for them, every day walking around, and they could have easily identified by what they were seeing, but of course was not the believers. The believers were an oppressed, persecuted people. And so this implied a sense of strength and comfort for them, not because of themselves, but because of the Lord. And so it's important that as we get ready to go into this year, and it's my desire, especially as a pastor, that you stay prepared, you live prepared, right? The Bible teaches us, and I think it's important that we acknowledge this, and this isn't like an emotional thing. This is a biblical thing, that our adversary is like a lion, and he's roaming to and fro to seek whom he may devour. And that's scripture. The Bible tells us that. And I think sometimes we live in such a way without that reality present in our lives to give us a sense of vigilance. And especially throughout the teachings of Jesus in the Gospels, we see Jesus teaching about a readiness for the coming of the Lord and staying on guard and ready at any moment to be able to advance. And if we're going to live for the Lord, we have to live prepared. And God has given us tools to do that with. And so we're going to look through here these truths that Paul tells them about in Scripture that would help us to live prepared for this year. We're all going to face spiritual battles, all right? Let's just all agree here today. We are all going to face spiritual battles this year, every one of us. As long as you're living for Jesus, you're going to face a spiritual battle. The spiritual life is not a downhill battle. It's an uphill. You're constantly going up against them. As long as you're trying to live for Jesus, there will always be the one who will try to keep you from living for Jesus. And it's important that we recognize what Paul is teaching us here so that we can stay alert and keep going and keep moving how God would have us to go. And so let's look here, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Let's just go ahead and establish this truth today about this teaching that we're going to see throughout the armor of God, is that the spiritual battle that we face isn't won through our strength. Nobody here is a super Christian. Nobody here has super strength to defeat the enemy in their lives. The Bible teaches us here, be strong in the Lord and in his strength, the strength of his power. And so the fight that we're fighting and the way that we overcome is through the strength that God gives us. It's through the help. It's the power of the Holy Spirit coming upon the believers in Acts. It's that grace and that strength that comes from heaven. That's first and foremost. It doesn't matter how much you go to the gym. It's not going to make you stronger as a believer. Strength comes from the Lord. Strength comes from heaven. Strength comes from being in God's presence. And so that's important as we look here this morning what we're going to learn about. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. Once again, he repeats himself, so that you may be able to withstand on the evil day, having prevailed against everything, to stand firm. Stand. It seems like there's a word that's repeating itself here. Stand, therefore, and belt your waist with truth. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Lace up your sandals in preparation for the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit at all times in every prayer and supplication. And to that end, keep alert. Always persevere in supplication for all the saints. There's a lot in this. There's a lot that Paul is telling them about. There's a lot of truths about the spiritual life in this. And so we're going to kind of go through this for a few moments here. The first thing I want you to notice before we get into the armor is that verse 11, he says, put on the whole armor of God. We need the whole armor. And you're going to see that in a few moments. It's one thing when you go to battle and you have the whole armor, but when you go to battle and you're like missing a piece, guess what happens? You're vulnerable, right? You're vulnerable to whatever attack may be present. And so we need the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Paul repeats himself here a lot, and he uses this word stand against, which can also be translated to resist. The spiritual life and the spiritual struggle that you and I are in, you'll notice here, Paul never calls them to run. He calls them to stand against. And a lot of times we try to run, but that's not the nature. The whole armor of God is enough to keep us to stand against. What Paul goes into and explains here, instructs us about what God has given us and the tools that he's equipped us with as every believer rising up into Christ, is enough to resist the devil, to oppose him, to fight against him. And you and I, we're not victims to the enemy. As long as we've been covered by the blood of Jesus, we're more than conquerors, the Bible tells us. But sometimes we live with that mindset, I'm a victim to the enemy. No, that's not the case. If you are a believer bought by the blood of Jesus, you're a child of the Most High God. You have overcome, and you will overcome. And so sometimes the enemy causes us to think, I should run, I should try to, we scramble and all of these things. But listen, what God has given us causes us to stand against, resist. It's like the phalanx that would form with the Roman soldiers locking arms with shields forward, and they're moving step by step, pushing forward. It's enough to push the enemy back. God's power will overcome the power of the enemy. And we know that through scripture here today. And that's important today. All of the battles we're facing here today, listen, when anxiety settles in and worry settles in, what do I do? And we start going here and there. Listen, the truth of the word of God is we stand against, we resist. Jesus, every time Satan came, you didn't see him running off. What did he do? Get behind me. It was direct. It was right in his face. Listen, because he understood the authority that had been given unto him. And you and I have authority over this resistance of the enemy that would come against us. So that's first and foremost. Stand against the wiles of the devil. Don't be falling back. Don't be pushed all over. Stand against it. That's the first truth here today. Paul calls us stand against, don't run away from it. The armor of God is good enough to help us to face every battle head on. You'll notice here this morning is that Paul talks about the armor and also talks about a sword. And the spiritual battles we face were ones that we're supposed to be facing. We should fight them in proactiveness, not defensiveness. We should fight them in the offense, not the defense. And what do I mean by that? In other words, through faithfulness to what Paul is about to teach us here, the battle is won. A lot of times what happens is we find ourselves in the fight in the moment, and we're like scrambling, trying to figure out what's going on. But you and I, we've been given tools to be on the offense, not the defensive. You'll notice here, if you watch a little bit of football, basketball, or just know some basics about sports, which I really don't know much at all, but I do know this: points are scored in the offensive, not the defensive. In the defensive, you're fighting so that points are not scored on you. And so it tends to be that we find ourselves in the spiritual battle, in the defensive, that we begin to scramble to try to fight. But when we practice spiritual readiness, it's offensive. And then when we get to the defensive, it's easy, because we've already been working hard in the offensive, following the truth that God has given us. It's proactive. And this is what Paul is teaching them through the armor of God. He's telling them, put on the whole armor of God. You're not under attack right now. But when you do, you stand against, you'll be protected. So we have to be ready. It's living prepared. It's not just like one day deciding, I'm going to like decide to pick up this truth. No, it's day by day. It's living prepared. So he tells them, just a reminder, our struggle, we're not fighting against one another. Remember that here today. Remember that in 2024. When you have a dispute with another believer, we're not fighting against each other. We're on the same team. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Our struggle is against the enemy. And so when something comes up between another believer or ourselves, it's you and I, we have to work that out and say, listen here, we're not going to let the enemy have the best of us. Our struggle is not against one. We're not putting up fists with each other. We're called to be united together. Our struggle is against, and this is where the enemy deceives us, is we think that our struggle is with one another, and we lose sight of the fact, no, our struggle is against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. So therefore, take up the whole armor of God. We don't need the armor of God to fight each other. That's not what this is about. The armor of God is to protect us against the fight of Satan, against the fight of the enemy. And so this year, just remember, just this in life in general, remember, I'm not wrestling with any person. My fight is not against flesh and blood. Even if someone is saying something towards me that is just wrong, listen, my struggle is not with them. Maybe that person is in off a spiritual place that's off. Okay, let it be. But my struggle is not against them. I'm not to get mad at them. I'm to fight against the enemy and pray for them and pray that God would turn them towards him. Remember that today. Keep us unified. So therefore, take up the whole armor of God so that you may be able to withstand on the evil day. And having prevailed against everything, isn't that something? Having prevailed against everything. And listen, if there's anybody who can talk about prevailing against everything, it sure is Paul. He was beaten, he was stoned, he was shipwrecked, he was et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Having prevailed against everything. I've been through it. I have gone and fought. Everything is resistance has come against me. But guess what? I'm still standing. That's the spiritual battle. That's the spiritual battle that God has designed for you and I. Is that in this struggle that we are in, God has made it so that you and I will follow the word of God and the truth of the word of God. You get through the spiritual battle, it's nothing. You're standing. You're still strong. You're not pushed down. You're not beat every time and wondering. Listen, we have to become aware of the tactics of the enemy so that we may be able to withstand. So put on the whole armor of God. So what's the truth here? Well, firstly, he tells them, stand therefore and belt your waist with truth. Or some translations say the belt of truth. Why is Paul telling them to put on truth as a belt? Well, you'll notice here, if you read the New Testament, is that there's a day where Jesus is speaking to his followers, and he tells them about Satan. And he tells them, he says that he is the father of lies. And that when he speaks what? Lies. And so you and I, our lives, spiritual lives, are not going to be held together by deceit. And they're not going to be held together by lies. The only thing keeping us together is the truth of the word of God. That's the only thing. That's the only thing that is secure for us. It's not the lie of Satan. It's not the deception that he puts in our ear. The security that we need that keeps us together A belt of truth was holding the armor on. It was keeping it all intact so that you're not losing pieces out on the battlefield. It is the truth of the Word of God, that Jesus is enough for me, that I am bought with a price, that He's resurrected. And that is the truths of the Word of God. All that God's Word is truth. And you and I, we can't be held together by a lie. We can't be held together by whatever the enemy is whispering in our ear, this deception and trying to lead us one way and another. And this was a problem that Paul had to face on, head on every almost book in the New Testament, was to address these deceitfulness of teachers that were coming in. And they were sowing discord because they were speaking lies that were contrary to the Word of God. And you know what Paul does? He just calls them out on it. They're wrong. Don't listen to them. Put them out of your ear. They're people that they're going to want teachers that itch their ears. But listen, don't do that. Put that away from you. You and I, we are belted together. We find our security in the truth of the Word of God. So it takes grace from heaven to discern truth and deception. And you notice that's how the enemy works. His mode is deception. It's to lead us into believing that something is the truth when in actuality it is not the truth. We can't be held together by a lie. There's no security in a lie. The second thing you see here is Paul tells them, put on the breastplate of righteousness, the breastplate of righteousness. You know, there's a lot of things we're going to face this year. There's a lot of battles we're going to face. You'll notice here that Paul never once in the spiritual, in this putting on the armor of God, he never talks about life. He never says, well, you're going to have some bad days and you're going to be broke some days and you're going to face some persecution some days and you're going to have some days and people are going to be gone. They're going to pass away. It's going to be difficult. He never addresses their problems of life through the armor of God. And this tells us something about what Paul is saying here, is that the armor of God is made for every day of our lives, every situation of our lives. And we're not putting on an armor of God to face the realities of life, that we live on a fallen planet. There's going to be bad days. It rains on the just and the unjust. It's going to happen. There's going to be some difficult days, all of us. There are going to be difficult days. But when you put on the whole armor of God, you'll recognize here there are areas of our spiritual life that keep us secure to go through those difficult days. And this is one of them. The breastplate of righteousness. It's as simple as it says. It's this piece of metal that is guarding what is keeping the blood flowing throughout the body, right? It's guarding the heart. It's protecting the heart. It's guarding what might come in here and lead. The Bible teaches us from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And what happens a lot of times is this struggle against righteousness and unrighteousness. It's this practicing of a living a pure and holy life for the Lord, or practicing a life that is evil. And you'll notice why he calls it a breastplate of righteousness. It is guarding the heart, which we see throughout Scripture and over again. We have to guard our heart. Guard our heart from the things that we allow in to the window and eye gate of our soul. What are we putting into our heart? Because when you and I, we allow our heart to be unguarded, listen, we become our breastplate. It becomes vulnerable. And when, listen, you can have every piece of armor, but that arrow hits you in the heart, guess what? You're over with, right? We need the breastplate of righteousness. And so it's important. This isn't anything. This is what you and I do to live with vigilance, not through working harder, not through earning harder, not through trying to work up something. It is through trusting in God's grace for us day by day. God, today, help me to live for you. God, today, help me to live in such a way that you're pleased with my life. God, today, help me to shake this habit that is just hindering my life. God, today, help me let my mouth reflect you working in my heart. It's that type of thing. It's God's grace flowing to us. It's the abundance. It's what I cannot see, but I know I'm experiencing. Grace keeping me, grace helping me, grace sustaining me. We need grace day by day. We need grace to help us to practice righteousness. This talk about Christians and this idea that there's some type of super holy person. Listen, put that out of your mind. There is no special people. It is just God's grace helping us every day. It's God's grace working in our heart to keep me living in a way that the Bible would say is faith by faith, grace by grace. It's sanctification and work, purifying me in such a way that is pleasing to the Lord. We want all that we do to please Jesus. We want our actions to please Jesus. We want to make sure that we're guarding our heart against what we're allowing in our ears this year. What are we listening to that's corrupting our heart, that's causing some type of seed of doubt or discord or animosity or hatred, whatever it is, throw it out of your ear. Turn it off. Put it away. No more. I'm not listening to that. What are we watching with our eyes that's filtering into our heart and is contaminating the rest of the way that we live? Because listen, that will happen. Believe it or not, what you allow in your eyes, it is the window of the soul, and what we watch and what we listen to, it will contaminate the heart. It will. It'll be in the most subtle way. But listen, we have to practice vigilance. Practice vigilance, guarding the heart. The other day, my wife and I were in a store, and we were walking through the store with Eliana, and it just broke my heart because I saw this mother come in, and whatever her situation may be, so be it. But just for one moment, the child that she had with her was probably 3 or 4, went and reached for something. I guess he wasn't supposed to. And I mean, she just lit him up. Every four-letter word you could think of. Everyone. And my heart just grieved for him. Grieved for him because I thought that's his window. That's his window right here. It's getting into his heart. It's coming in. It's going to set seed right there. And it's going to become something, maybe not right now, but one day that will turn into something if Jesus doesn't intervene. Guard our heart. Guard our ears. What are we allowing in? It's a breastplate of righteousness. And God called us. This is the wonderful thing about the Lord, is God called us to righteousness to prevent us from destruction. God called us to live in such a way that is pure and holy, to free us from the contamination of sin, to free us from the bondage of sin. And it's wonderful that God calls us in this way so that you and I could be kept safe and protected in his hand. It's the breastplate of righteousness. We need the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness. Thirdly, we see this here. He says, lace up your sandals in preparation for the gospel of peace. Well, truthfully, I'm not really a sandal person, but nonetheless, I get what Paul is saying here. There's this sense of there, I've got to be sure that I'm getting ready. What does he say? Preparation for the gospel of peace. It's ready for action. When a soldier, I've never seen this. Maybe some of our military folks have, but I've never seen a soldier walk out into a field without their boots on. First off, if it was me, I can barely make it across like 2 inches of gravel without falling over. I mean, I just can't handle that. Because what happens when you don't have boots on? Your feet are in danger. Like, it's going to hurt. And it's not even the danger of like something hitting my feet. It's like, what am I going to step on that's going to hurt? It's going to cause me to lose my firm foundation. It's this sense of like I've left myself vulnerable. And this is the case for many of us, is that a lot of us, we're good at putting the rest of the armor on. We get that. But this is the hard one. But you'll notice here is that when you don't have your feet protected and your feet get injured, guess what? The rest of the armor is useless. It's useless. You're laying there. You can't move. There's no action. And this is that sense of the readiness with the gospel. It's that lie of Satan that causes us to just sit into this lukewarmness, what Jesus calls it, really. And that I'm not going to do anything with my spiritual life, and I'm armored up for everything but nothing. It's the sense that I've been called to go proclaim the gospel, love people, but I'm not moving nowhere because I'm not ready for it. I'm not going to do that. It's the sense that is happening in America and over again. We are good at filling pews, but we're not so good at taking the gospel to our communities and neighborhoods. It's this sense of, I've been called, just like all of the other believers, preach Jesus, love people, wrap my arm around people and tell them about Jesus. It's the readiness of the gospel. Listen, if the enemy can cause all of the believers to not put their shoes on, he has rendered the church useless, because who is going to hear about Jesus if no one's going to tell them? They can have all the other armor on. So what? They're not winning anybody because no one's telling them about Jesus. And this is what Paul is telling them. And he later on, Paul addresses this in Thessalonians, and he calls this idle Christianity. It's Christianity that's useless. It's not helping anybody because there's no action. There's no, I've been compelled by Christ's love for you and I. And this sense of you can have all the armor on, but if we're not doing what God has called us to do, preaching Jesus, loving people, serving the Lord with all of my heart, I've been rendered useless by the enemy. I'm not living for the Lord. We have to put on the gospel of peace. We have to make sure, Lord, what do you want to do with my life? And do it, Lord. Do it, Lord. Don't let me just come through life and just be here. Lord, let me make the most of all that you've called me to do. Lord, every person in this room, every person, listen, every person in this room, you've been called to make an impact on somebody's life for the kingdom of God. You've been called to love people. I've been called to love people. And the moment that any of us stops doing that, what a tragedy it is to the kingdom of God, because the person that we were called to love and reach, who's loving them and who's reaching them? All of us have been called to that. And this year, live prepared. Live like God at any moment. If you tell me to go and talk to this person, you open up a door before me and say, share the good news, I'm ready to do that. If you call me and say, like, Lord, help, go give that guy $20. He needs help. And I say, well, Lord, I'm going to do that, Lord. It's this sense like at any moment, I'm ready to be led by the Spirit so that someone can know Jesus. I'm prepared. I'm ready to go. Fourthly, Paul calls him to this. He says, with all of these, take the shield of faith. And he adds a little something here. He says, with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. I think it's first important to acknowledge something here that Paul has already acknowledges but reiterates here. There are fiery arrows flying at all of us. Hello? There are fiery arrows going to all of us today. All of us here as believers in Jesus, Paul is telling us they are coming at us left and right from the enemy. Of course he's trying to destroy us. So what do we do? I've got my armor on, but what's going to stop the arrows? What's going to stop those fiery arrows that Paul is talking about here? He says faith. Faith. It's nothing you and I are holding up to the enemy and putting it back. It's faith. It's this sense of being able to go head on and say, I am trusting in God. I'm not leaning on anything else. I'm not going to put my help in anyone else. My help comes from the Lord. And this battle will be conquered through the Lord, not through my own strength, not through doubt, not through wavering. The Bible calls that double-mindedness. They're unsure in all of their ways. They're going here and there, but they've never been able to determine where their real help is from. But the person who has faith, their faith is as sure as a steadfast foundation. And they say, whatever arrow comes, my God will protect me. He shall quench the arrow that flies by day and the terror of the night. He's put in his angels about me and guard me in all of my ways. It's that type of faith that will fight the arrows of the enemy. It's faith. Because you know what faith does? Is faith says, and this is what soldiers don't do. Soldiers put their hope in a shield to protect them. The Roman soldiers held up those things and they depended on them. But what faith does is it lays down anything I can pick up and picks up the shield of God and says, Lord, only you can protect me. Only you can keep me this year. Everything, there are going to be fiery arrows this year. They're going to come at me, Lord, but only you can protect me. And I'm okay with that. I have given myself to be protected by you. And the Lord, guess what he says? That he is our keeper. He is our keeper. We are hidden under the shadow of the Almighty. God has gone before us and he has put his angels about us. Surely you and I are protected from a fiery arrow. It's nothing. It's nothing to what the enemy, what the Lord would do. It's nothing to what the Lord would say. It is enough. Faith protects us. This year, when you're challenged to put your hope somewhere else, I'm just going to encourage you now. I'm telling myself this because I've had to do it a lot lately. Lord, nope. I've started writing notes to myself. Scripture, because I know it's coming, and I just write notes. Oh, but God's grace is enough for me. He will keep me. He will protect me. and I trust in that. And build up our faith, because why? Faith comes by hearing, and by hearing what? The word of God. Which brings us to almost to the next point we're going to look here. Fifthly, it's this. He says, take the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation. That's what's Paul talking about here. You know, this isn't a bicycle helmet we're talking about. This is something that's protecting the whole head. And so what's our helmet of salvation? And why does Paul equate to the thing that's protecting the mind to salvation? Well, we know this about Scripture. We know the Bible tells us that the enemy, that he's the accuser of the brethren. And so what he comes out to do is he accuses, which challenges your salvation. It's constantly bringing up past deeds to say, hey, look at you. Remember all that junk you did? God doesn't love you. It's this constant, like, putting down because of our past. It's this constant, like, just you're nothing. You're absolutely dirt. It's this, like, trampling all over you. It's what the enemy does. He accuses, but he never actually does anything. He just accuses. But the helmet of salvation is this. It's what Paul teaches them in 2 Corinthians 10. It says this, we will take captive every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So every time the enemy puts something in my ear that creates a thought that challenges the knowledge of God in my life, I take it captive, because I know who I belong to. I know who my God is. I know who my Savior is. I know that he died on a cross and rose from the dead and overcome and conquered and bruised his head. I know that. For a fact, it's in the word of God. That's enough for me. My mind is protected. Listen, spiritual battles are fought in the mind. It's what the enemy puts in our ear that we believe or we don't believe. And that's where we have to be sure. We have the helmet of salvation. I take every thought captive. Satan, that's my past. God has long forgiven of that, and he has cast my sin as far as from the east to the west. It is long gone. Be gone in Jesus' name. It's the helmet of salvation. And listen, the Bible tells us in John that as long as we are in his hand, no one can pluck us from his hand. No word that he says, remember, he only speaks lies. Nothing that comes out of his mouth, nothing can pluck you from God's hand. You're secure in him. You're secure in him. You don't worry about what the enemy says to you. You don't worry about how he puts you down and condemns you and makes you feel guilty. Listen, as long as you're living in a way that is pleasing to the Lord, living by grace day by day, your trust is in Jesus, and that's enough. It's enough. It's the helmet of salvation. And therefore, we take captive every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Musicians are going to come. Lastly is this. You take the shield of faith, take the helmet of salvation. And then he tells them this. He saves the best for last. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You'll notice here something. This is really important. All of the above pieces that we talked about are protective measures. It's protective. Right? It's a belt of truth. It's helping me keep everything on. It's the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness. It's all protective. The only weapon that we have is the sword of the Spirit, which Paul adds is the word of God. This is wonderful news for you and I. It's wonderful news. First off, you and I, we don't have to pick up any sword and try to fight any battle with the sword. That's not what we're doing. As a matter of fact, we're not fighting. It's the word of God that's fighting. God's word that he's already spoken and established is working for you and I. You'll notice this, Jesus did this in Matthew chapter 4. Satan came and tempted him in all these different ways. And what did Jesus do? Oh, he just spit back the word of God to him. That was all he did. Jesus never once grabbed Satan by the throat and threw him and fought him. He just spoke the word. He just said the word. And I hope this gets deep down in us for this year. God's word is enough. Listen, we have cars, we have buildings we can touch, but more secure than anything that you and I can put our hands on is the word of God. If God spoke it, it is enough. God never speaks a word without purpose. God's word always has a purpose. And the Bible promises that his word will accomplish the purpose it was sent for. And I just want to encourage you today, every battle before us this year, take the word of God. Take the word of God. If I've learned anything in the last year of my life, it is every time the enemy comes, take the word of God. When I feel, oh God, I don't think I can make this fight anymore, oh, I just spit back. But you said your grace is sufficient. Oh Lord, I don't think we're going to be able to make it. We need you to meet us. No, you said my God shall supply all of our need. Every time when I think, oh God, what is going on? I remember, no, but all things will work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. It's the word of God. It's the one thing fighting for us. Fighting for you, my friend. Fighting for you. God's word has been fighting for you since the beginning. If God could speak in a garden, Genesis chapter 3, to the serpent and say, his bruised heel shall bruise your head. His word started fighting for you and I long, long, long ago and is still fighting for you and I today. Why? Because he loves us. Because he cares for us. He is fighting for you and I. His word is fighting for you. Every battle that you're facing, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord shall raise up a standard against him. His word is enough for you. Lean not on anything else but the word of God. When you feel overwhelmed by the worries of life and the battle you're in, listen. Take this Bible. Get in it, sit in it, and read and say, God, your word is enough for me. I'm going to take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And guess what? The sword of the Spirit reminds us we shall overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. We need the word of God. Imagine a life without the word of God. Imagine our life without anything to grab a hold of to and say, but I can put my trust in that. That's not the case for you and I today. We have the help to be able to put our hope in the word of God. And listen, I've just in my life, oh, I've just wrote so many. I've made it my practice as long as I've been a Christian. Every time God spoke a promise to me and every time God spoke a word to me, I would write it down and I'd put it in somewhere, a journal, a note on my phone, a note on my computer, somewhere. Because I knew there'd be a day I'd probably forget about it, but I'd need to come back and see it again and that I could be reminded God is faithful to every word. The word of God is enough. My brother, my sister, I just want to tell you today, I just encourage you this year, live prepared. Live prepared. Put on the whole armor of God. Do what Paul says. Take truth in your life. Throw out the lies. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Put on the sandals for the preparation for the gospel of peace. Serve the Lord with all of your heart. Shield of faith. Trust in God. The helmet of salvation. The lies. Don't listen to them. And take the word of God in every battle. Guess what? Having done all. Having prevailed against everything, guess what? To stand. To stand. Will you stand with me this morning? Would you close your eyes? Paul lastly reminds them in this whole talk about the armor of God. He tells them, pray in the Spirit at all times, in every prayer and supplication to that end. Keep alert. And also always persevere in supplication for all the saints. All that God has given us here is wonderful. But where does it come from? It comes from the throne of grace. It comes when you and I say, Lord, I need faith today. Lord, I need my mind to be reminded of who I am in you. The accusing, Lord, secure my mind. It's all these rest upon prayer. Resting and calling on the Lord and trusting in his promises, lifting up our eyes to the Lord and say, but my help comes from you. So pray, pray, pray. Pray this year like you've never prayed. Go before the Lord like you've never gone before. Challenge yourself to go be with the Lord like you've never gone. Say, Lord, I just need you. I just need you this year. We need you as a church. And also do what Paul says here. Pray for the saints. Pray for your brothers and sisters. We need to pray for one another. Encourage our brothers and sisters in prayer. And so this morning, maybe this has resonated with you. You're in some type of spiritual battle and you need God's strength to come this morning and just help you today. Would you just come this morning and let us pray for you, stand around you? Maybe you would say to me, Charlie, I want to live prepared this year. I want to do all that God has said there in His Word. Maybe you'd come this morning, stand here at the front. We want to call on the Lord, trusting in Him today. So, Father, we thank you today. Father, I thank you today that for the believer is the promise of victory. But thanks be to God who gives us victory. Lord, help us today to put on the whole armor of God, to put on the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the belt of truth, Lord, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Lord, we need you this year. Lord, we need you so much. We need you, Lord. We need you, Jesus. We just acknowledge, Lord, this year, everything before us is more than what we can handle, but it's not more than what you can handle. So we put our trust in you today. We trust in you, Jesus. We need you, Lord. Equip us, Lord. Equip us, Lord. Equip us today, Lord. Give us faith today to shut down those fiery darts of the enemy. Give us faith this morning. Encourage us today, Lord. We praise you, Lord, this morning. We praise you. Come on, would you just tell the Lord your need today? Not the need you have, but our need of Him. Lord, we need you. Like, we need you tomorrow. We need you right now, Lord. This year, we just need you, Lord. There's not a day this year that I'm going to face, Lord, that I don't need you, Lord. I'm going to need you tomorrow even more than today, Lord. Help me, Lord. We need you. You didn't call us to live in fear, Lord, but you gave us a mind of power, self-control, discipline. Lord, help us today. Give us strength to overcome. Strength today. Strength, Lord, from your presence. We need you, Lord. We need you, Jesus. We need you, Lord. We need you today, Lord. Oh, God, as a church, we need you, Lord. We need you to pour grace upon us, Lord. Oh, God, help us today. We need you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We need you, Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Strengthen us today, Lord. Encourage us today, Lord. We bless you, Jesus. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Jesus. Thank you.